When I sit down to talk with Bomani Armat about his educational philosophy, he's still sweating. He's just finished keeping a group of 15 kids ages 2 to 8 engaged for almost an hour learning to read. That hour has consisted of hip-hop style spoken word poetry set to a beat, call and response rhymes, and dancing, including a couple breakdance head spins. I ask Armat to introduce himself, and he's beaming.
If you see me not smiling, remind me I make rap songs with kids for a living.
When he's performing for students, he goes by the name Baba Bomani.
My brand, I guess for lack of a better word to say it, is Baba Got Bars, which is a series of workshops, residencies, as well as professional development, as well as music videos and songs, and books on how to write through hip-hop. And basically, it shows how a well-written essay resembles a well-written song, with the main idea paragraph being the same as the chorus and the supporting paragraphs being the same as the verses. So I've been going across the entire state of Maryland, hopefully this year expanding to Delaware, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, having kids write songs instead of book reports. So like last year, we wrote songs about the history of the American Revolution, where to put the decimal place, the water cycle, literally whatever you're working on in class. I show you how you use the same techniques to write an essay that you would a song. And I basically call it putting medicine in with the sweet potatoes. And we just have a lot of fun.
During the program at Kirkwood Library, Armat taught the kids how to rap their ABCs forward and backward, how to count the syllables in their names, and different ways to rhyme words. The kids hardly ever sat still during the program, and that's by design.
What's cool teaching through hip-hop is that it's music, it's language, and it's dance. You know what I'm saying? So you're in a school, and some people are auditory learners, some people are visual learners, some people are physical learners. And I've seen students who, when we're writing a song, they don't have any words to add. You know what I'm saying? But when we're like, okay, so how would you dance to represent this song? That's when they come alive. That's when they're like, I would use my body to do this and do that. And it helps them become a member of the whole project that's going on. And it helps them ingrain the idea through physical movement, which is more of their learning style anyway.
For the older kids at his Kirkwood Library program, Armat taught raps about the writing process and about Frederick Douglass and how Douglass taught himself to read.
Even if the kindergartners don't understand the depth of the song, they'll catch the rhythm, they'll catch the chorus, and it'll make sense to them as they grow up. And that's how all the songs work for us. Even as like one-year-olds, we didn't understand the ABCs. We just said it over and over and over again until one day, you know what I'm saying, it became an integral part of what we did. So even the kids who didn't understand what I was saying, the young Douglass, Frederick Douglass, he was smart and he was brave. By the time they get to the fifth grade, it will be so, you know, ingrained into their brain that they'll understand it and be able to move on from there. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to put these earworms, these bugs into these students' ears that they can use later.
Why focus on Frederick Douglass and that history?
Got you. I am very fond of Frederick Douglass because he's a writer. And his main impact on the world was his writing, between his biography and his newspaper and his speeches. Also because he's local. Where he was born is about an hour from here. In Washington, D.C., there are museums dedicated to him. You can go to his house. His house is a museum. In Baltimore, there are museums dedicated to him. You can go to his birthplace over here on the Eastern Shore. So to make history come alive and to talk about literacy, both the story of how he learned how to read and how he learned how to write, and to inspire young people, he's a very easy character to do that message through. They discovered recently, there was a book that was released last year talking about all the pictures Frederick Douglass took. By historians' count, no one had their photograph taken more than Frederick Douglass in the 20th century. And the main reason was because of, you know, slavery and then freedom, he felt that he had to represent what being a black man was. So he took a lot of painstaking effort to make sure that he was photographed in the most distinguished ways possible. I have a song I'm working on about that. I'm going to get to it. You know what I'm saying? But I think good educators... a good educational experience is learning all these cool, useful things through storytelling, through history. You know, even as our president said, Frederick Douglass is doing a lot of great things. And so I'm just playing off of that stuff, you know what I'm saying? Still inspiring students now. So for the last 4 years, almost five, I teach a class for homeschool boys in Washington, D.C. called the Frederick Douglass Writing Club. And it's basically based on us imitating Frederick Douglass on top of being songwriters, because that's what I do. So we write biographies, we write newspaper articles, and we write speeches. And we do that by first reading Frederick Douglass's biography, reading his newspaper, and reading his speeches, and trying to imitate that in our own lives. I ask 11-year-olds, what are you passionate about? And they were like, I don't like my bedtime. And so we write speeches in Frederick Douglass style talking about that. And it's just a great way to get them excited and interesting. And then the other thing is, like, I do these workshops and these residencies all the time, and I feel like I get kids excited about literacy, and then I leave, and I don't know if anybody's keeping that excitement going. And the story about Frederick Douglass was that he took his literacy into his own hands. You know what I'm saying? And if you talk to 11, 12, 13-year-old boys, a lot of times that's the stage where you want to be a rebel. You know what I'm saying? So I show Douglass as a rebel, and his rebellion was, I'm going to spend as much time as possible educating myself, because I know if I'm educated, I can move forward. And that's the message I love leaving with 12-year-olds, because I know sometimes, you know, the 12-year-old can't read on level, and I'm not going to be able to help them. But if I can inspire them to be like, this is a great man who didn't have had almost no help at all, and was inspired to come to, you know, inspire them to come to the library and use these resources. So I'm trying to do all those tie-ins and keep the whole concept alive for students.
I asked Armand what he's learned over the years from the kids he works with, and what direction his programming is headed in.
So one of the things that I do is when we're working on rhyme, I don't know if you saw my Four Ways to Rhyme song. But one of the ways to rhyme is like squishing words together and mispronouncing words. And there's a thing in the Common Core what teachers have to use where it says your students should be able to use culturally appropriate language depending on the situation. And so we have a lot of fun expanding young people's vocabularies by like having fun trying to rhyme words and then find words that don't really rhyme, but saying them with like a southern drawl or mispronouncing the word, and that expands the vocabulary. So one kid knows a word, another kid knows a word, and in the attempt to write songs, they're increasing their vocabulary and they don't even know it. You know what I'm saying? That's why I really like describing what I do as putting medicine in with the sweet potatoes. You know what I'm saying? By the end of the lesson, the kids have learned more words, not even necessarily the words that were on the teacher's learning list, but anytime that you get kids excited about increasing their vocabulary and increasing their comprehension, that's a win. But the other thing I'm really, the next stage that I'm working on is that math aspect. That what separates being a poet from a hip hop artist is that you're trying to figure out how to fit 16 syllables into a 4-bar space. And if you look at what first graders are taught to learn, they're taught to like group. They're taught to do 3-3-3 and to see a difference in the patterns. We're doing the same thing when we're rhyming. So every time I get a chance to work with a 5-year-old, I'm experimenting on how to make this even easier for them to understand and translating that into their other math stuff that they're doing.
Armand says the teachers he works with request songs not only about the content of what they teach, but about how to learn behavioral and emotional skills like active listening and being present in a space. As an independent educator who's worked in low-income public schools, high-income public schools, private schools, libraries, camps, and even homeschool groups, Armand sees a lot of the educational system. I asked him if he could change one thing, where would he focus his energy to make sure kids in our country are learning to read?
Honestly, the biggest deal is a teacher-to-student ratio. Not even necessarily teacher-to-student ratio, adult to student ratio. You can have one teacher and 3 or 4 volunteers, and that would change the entire educational program. As you may know, like the main idea behind education is between kindergarten and second grade, you're learning to read. And from third grade on, you're reading to learn. So if you haven't picked up how to read with some kind of flow by the third or fourth grade, you're going to progressively fall further and further behind. The best way to be a better reader is not being one student sitting in a class of 30 as your teacher like pours reading into you. It's being one of like 6 kids or 8 kids or even better 5 or 4 or 3 with an adult who's reading to you, taking it step by step. You're reading to them. You know what I'm saying? So if we can figure out a way to double teacher salaries and cut the classes in half, that's my platform for 2020 if I ran for president. You know what I'm saying? Is to find a way to either get more actual paid staff or just appeal to the community. Make sure that they understand, like, if you want to bring down crime, you want to bring down unemployment, make sure your second graders can read. Make sure your third graders can read. Let your employees have a day off to go to the local elementary school and sit with kids and read. Maybe not even read. What it is when the teacher's given something, when the teacher's explaining something and there are 26 kids, that one of those kids, instead of having to get the teacher's attention, can get a volunteer's attention who is paying attention to the same thing, and they can break it down for the child. They can read it again for the child or have the child read back. Or just encouraging parents to bring their students in and reading more. Just trying to get the comprehension up. I think that'll push everything up on a whole different level.
That's Bomani Arma of Baba Got Bars. His interactive performance, Rock the Mic, Hip Hop and Literacy, will be in Delaware Public Libraries through August 9th as part of the Division of Libraries' annual Summer Library Challenge. And I'm Sophia Schmidt for Delaware Public Media.